Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This is also the season of giving, but this hasn't been the year of riches for a lot of families, even those who have kept their jobs and kept their heads above water during the pandemic. Many may still feel a sense of uncertainty during the holiday season when it comes to finances. So how do you not succumb to the pressures of holiday gift giving this year? Are there practical and frugal ideas that are best for every holiday budget? Well, joining me to talk about this is Michelle Singletary, Color of Money columnist at the Washington Post, and you, the listener, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I am doing just fine. Good. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, all of that stuff.
Yeah, to you as well.
Thank you so much. I know you're about to make a lot of people mad, I'm good with that.
Yeah, people don't like to hear me.
Here comes Michelle again with, you know, with her Debbie Downer Christmas giving, you know, sticks and ashes and all.
Now, wait a minute.
That's right. Whether you're naughty or nice, don't expect anything from Michelle.
No, okay. Not so, that bad. Okay.
So, look, seriously, this has been a very difficult year financially and otherwise for a lot of people. Even as we are right now waiting for Congress to approve this $900 billion stimulus package to provide aid for a lot of people, there are still some who are just really concerned about what their financial situation is going to be next month, and yet they are still in the stores. What do you say to those folks?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, we've been, you know, closeted into our homes, and, you know, lots of travel restricted. And so people want to give, they want to get out, they want to have the best Christmas they possibly can under the conditions, and I understand that. But clearly, if you are incurring credit card debt, if you have a card in which you can't pay it off every month, or you have other debt that you have struggled with, you really ought not to be in the store. If you're on your way there now, turn around and go back home. Keep listening to the program, but turn around and go back home. Because the fact of the matter is, we have not turned the corner on this pandemic. Even though there are vaccines out there and that this stimulus package is coming, it's still not going to be enough. And we may still see a lot of people being laid off. And now is the time to hoard that cash. And really, for the most part, what does anybody really need? I mean, in terms of material things. Your kids have a lot already. You have a lot. And if you're incurring debt and you don't have a savings account, you can't afford to be as generous this year as you might have been in the past.
But there is so much pressure on people, particularly parents, decades-long pressure where you may say within your household, you're going to sit down with your son and daughter and say, look, and they may be, who knows how old they are? They could be 10 years old. They could be 12 years old. They could be 8 years old or whatever. And even if you've made that decision in your own household, you know, the grandparents are going to give you the side eye. Mm-hmm. And your friends are going to give you the side eye. How do you deal with that kind of thing without essentially telling everybody your business or your mindset?
Well, you don't have to tell them how deeply in trouble you are, but you certainly, you know, should have conversations with your children that are age appropriate to say, you know, they know what's going on. They're, you know, these kids are fairly smart. They've got their phones and they know what's going on. And just say, listen, mom and dad, you know, dad lost his job or mom lost his job or we're not getting this many hours. You know, we were carrying some of this, you know, some debt. And so this year we really need to pull back. And I understand that you have a desire for some things, but we're really sorry. We love you. And then we're going to do a whole bunch of other things. You're going to play family games, maybe cook some cookies. We'll watch some Christmas movies. There's some things that we can do. And when things get better, we'll be able to buy you some of the things that you want. And yet, that's just the honest way that you can do it. And you know what? The children will be able to handle it. And if they can't, you know, I know kids. I got three of them. They might roll their eyes and sulk and be sad. But you, as the parent, have to run your house in a way that you provide financial security for your children, meaning whatever money that you still have, you got to keep that roof keep a roof over their heads and food on the table. And this is the hard part of being a parent, saying no. Even if you have it, saying no. I mean, my husband and I practiced over the years. We managed our children's expectations. We could give them more, but we did not on purpose because we didn't want to set them in a situation where they were always expecting all of this stuff. And now as young adults, they are really good with their money. They don't have all these expectations on us. And whatever they get, they're happy with. And that came from setting that tone as they were growing up.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to Michelle Singletary, Color of Money columnist at The Washington Post, about your holiday finances and gift giving. What should you do if you're feeling a bit of financial uncertainty right now? If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call right now again at 202-319-7810. Also, this is Monday. Christmas is Friday. Have you finished your Christmas shopping? Are you going out to spend more this year? Are you reconsidering how much you're spending? You said earlier, Michelle, if you're on your way to the store right now, turn around. And the thing that came to mind is what we often hear public safety officials say when there's flooding: turn around, don't drown. We could say turn around, don't financially drown.
That's a great example, because people look at the water and they don't think it's so deep and they go in anyway. And isn't that what people are doing now? Oh, I'm not that much in debt. Oh, you know, it's been a horrible year. It's okay if, you know, I do this now. It really isn't okay. You have to be financially responsible. And if you can't afford to get these things, don't do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then, you know, listen, you can talk to your folks, your people, the aunties and grandparents, and say, listen, we can't do this. You know, you're welcome to give, but just know that this is the kind of holiday we're going to have in our house. And, you know, they have to accept that it's your house.
And, you know, I was just thinking about the Sony PlayStation 5 thing. I think that, you know, I miss the love of video games. And for some reason, I guess my daughter missed it too when she was a young person. But it just came to mind that if you can find it, that thing is $500.
Yeah, it's crazy. Y'all crazy.
She said
y'all
it's crazy.
I'm just gonna put it out there. I mean, all the kids got phones. Play on their phone. I mean, I don't understand what is wrong with you people. If you don't have $500 saved for that college fund, you should definitely not be spending $500 on a PlayStation, whatever. You know, we didn't really let our kids have a lot of video games when they were little. We finally, when they were maybe high school, junior high, maybe we got like a Wii, and they were like falling on the floor. Kind of like, what?
What? A Wii?
And this was like probably like 2 or 3 years after it came out, when it was way less expensive. And they opened it up. It's so funny, my children. They opened it up, and the first thing they did was stop and look at me and their dad. It was like, you should not play like this. This is a really cruel joke. And they didn't believe it was actually the game. And they were just like, Mommy, Dad, this is really cruel. And I was like, no, actually is a Wii in there. And it's like, stop playing.
Yeah, and stop playing with your money. Boy, you know, Candy Crush is free.
I'm 202-319-7810.
Vanetta, calling from the DMV. Vanetta, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Am I live?
Yes, go right ahead.
Oh, thank you so much. And I definitely, once again, want to send my blessings to each and every one that are listening. And I definitely have to agree with Miss Singletary on not being as generous as setting that tone right for your children and prioritizing. You definitely have to manage your money wisely nowadays. And when you speak about that PlayStation 5, I mean, that is not a priority. That can definitely wait. And as much as so much is on, just like you said, your phone, TV, I mean, come on. That $500 could go a long way. It could fill the refrigerator up. You could pay some bills that you haven't been able to pay in a while. Just put it to the side and just be wise.
I like your attitude, Vanetta. So have you finished Christmas shopping?
Unfortunately, I thank God, because I used to celebrate, but I just look at it in a different sight now. I just look at it because I give all year round. So I just don't focus on just this one day, but I look forward to spending time with family.
So you don't feel the pressure to go all in right now?
Not at all.
Okay. Thank you so much, Vanetta, calling from the DMV. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about your money, financial uncertainty during the holiday season of 2020. What are you doing about gift giving? Are you feeling some of the pressure? Let me go to Mike. Mike calling from Poolsville up in Montgomery County. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing, man?
I'm doing just fine. What's on your mind, Mike?
That's what's up, man. What's on my mind typically, man, is like, you know, it's simply, you know, with these paying holidays, man, and sometimes we just, you know, sometimes as general, especially with the African American community, we just try to, you know, basically try to compete with one another. But as growing up, you know, in urban homes and stuff like that, and poverty and stuff like that, one thing I realized is that, you know, the gifts and stuff is not really, you know, what's important. You know, because, you know, we were struggling growing up, because I got four kids and we all in the same households, and they understand, you know, we can't afford it. What's more important is keeping the lights on, making sure you got food to eat and stuff like that. Now, I did teach, basically try to humble my kids and teach them basically, you know, when you work for something, that's when you earn it. You know, because they got this virtual school stuff going on, and I'm like, hey, well, look, I know you miss school. I know you want to be, you know, with your friends and stuff like that. But guess what? You got to work for what you want in life, because I ain't going to lie. I was spoiled growing up. And as I got into my adulthood, I thought certain stuff was going to be given to me or should be given to me. But it really humbled me and made me understand, like, no, that I was really privileged, even though we grew up in poverty. And I didn't know it because my father, which I grew up with my father, which a lot of African Americans don't, which I'm very grateful for today.
Well, Mike, you've made a lot of really good points. And thank you so much for your phone call. Michelle, he kind of ran down a lot of the things that you've been saying over these many years about attitudes, not just during the holiday, but just lifelong attitudes about money.
Yeah, Yeah, he did. One thing I do want to correct that we often say that somehow the African Americans, blacks, spend more. We're not as savvy with our money. That's just really not true. When you look at just America in general, is a country that is a consumers. So we don't, you know, we may spend on different things, but when you look at the numbers, like maybe we spend a little bit more on shoes, but, you know, white Americans spend a little bit more on alcohol. So we just need to change that narrative that we are Americans, and however Americans spend their money is pretty much how we spend our money. But to his other points about just what I call is manage expectations. So that's what he's really talking about. As your children grow up, you manage their expectations. You give them some, you hold back, so that they understand that they just, you don't want to spoil them. Because if you look up the word spoil, it means to make rotten.
Interesting. Very, very interesting point. So before I go back to the phone lines, we've got a lot of phone calls, and I'm so glad you guys are calling in. I really do want to get down to some of the nitty-gritty things about this. How do you balance your concerns about the future, even if you've not had any financial difficulty during the pandemic, DC Metro, a big federal government employer, a lot of people in our community have been able to hold on to their jobs, and yet there is still, you know, that concern. Can you get a little something? What do you suggest?
Well, you know, we have the tale of two cities even within our DMV area. There are certainly people working for government, state, and local who haven't lost their job. But there are quite a few people who work for the service industry, restaurants, hotels, movie theaters, you know, who have lost their jobs or their hours have been greatly reduced. And so I sort of tell those folks, you know, do what you have to do to pay the bills. And that may mean that some things don't get paid right now. But for those who are in that other city, that part where they haven't lost income and things have been well, look around and find out who needs help and help. Pay somebody's rent for January. Pay their utility bills or their phone bill. Don't even ask. You know that they've lost their job. And that's how we sort of help each other this way. You want to give this year? Give people the security of knowing that one of their bills is paid. You know, even something as big as their mortgage or their rent. Can you imagine what kind of financial relief you give someone if instead of spending all that money on stuff for your family, which most people don't even need all that stuff that you're going to buy, and that you gave somebody a break for a month or two while they're still trying to get find a job or live off of their unemployment, that's a better way to do it. Because, I mean, the numbers, they call it a K recovery. That's where, you know, lots of people are doing really well and lots of people are doing really bad. And when it comes to the African-American community, you know, we're doing bad because we tend to hold those jobs that pay less and are in the service industry.
That sounds like a really great idea. We're going to take a break, but we're going to talk to Shamira calling from Baltimore and Yetta calling from Hyattsville. So please do not hang up. And lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly you can tweet me, as you already have, at H Fisher WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Michelle Singletary from the Washington Post's column Color of Money will be back in just a bit. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking to Michelle Singletary, Color of Money columnist at The Washington Post. At issue is financial uncertainty during this holiday season. Are you feeling a lot of pressure to buy Christmas gifts this week? Christmas is just, what, 4 days away? It's on Friday? And yet you may not have finished and you're trying to figure out how not to have a Christmas cash crunch, but you are still feeling the tug. Again, we're talking to Michelle Singletary, Color of Money columnist at the Washington Post. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Let me go back to the phone line. Shamira calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Shamira. What's on your mind?
Yes, hello, hi, good evening, and thank you for having me on your show today.
Sure.
I just wanted to reflect on the Christmas finances. One thing that me and my family have been doing for the past couple of years, which have been very lucrative, is that we have been celebrating Christmas after Christmas and purchasing gifts after Christmas to catch the sales. My kids are fine with it. They are happy with the outcome, so we end up celebrating Christmas in January. Another thing also that we are focusing on, which is the main thing for 2021, is trying to become debt-free. And that's the main focus on us, where we're trying to completely become debt-free so that we wouldn't have any financial difficulties. And that's what I just wanted to say. You don't have to celebrate Christmas on Christmas. You can catch those deals afterwards and save a lot of money. And your kids will be happy with the outcome either way.
How old are your kids?
I have 3, 5, 12, and 17.
Oh, wow.
The 3-year-old probably doesn't care.
Does not even know the difference.
And the 5-year-old, maybe the 5-year-old just does whatever you tell
the
5-year-old.
Does not know the difference.
Doesn't
either.
Know the, yeah, but the other ones, you know, that.
They are
that,
perfectly fine with it.
But you've been doing that for how long, though?
For about 3 years now.
Okay. So when the 3-year-old came along, you said, this mess has got to stop. I get it. Shamira, thank you so much.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
You too. What do you think about that, Michelle?
I think it's a good idea. The only question I would have is that just remember, when you spend, even when you save, you're still spending. So people are like, oh, I saved this amount of money. You didn't actually save any money. You just spent less money. So as long as there is a plan in place that even if you're shopping after the holiday, that you're still spending within a budget and you make sure you don't have other debts that money could go to, then I think that's a great, great idea.
Okay. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Yetta, calling from Hyattsville. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind? Yetta, are you there? Yetta? Yetta, give us a call back if you can. Okay. So, we do know that even as we wait for better days, that a lot of people are trying to save and make it through this financial pandemic. So how do you do that? How do you stash cash now? What is the best way to kind of put it away so that even if you still have your job, that you don't have to look at it or feel the pressure that it is there?
Yeah, so, you know, the fact of the matter is, if you haven't lost your job and you're still earning, and especially if you're in a two-income household, this was a great time and is a great time to save more and pay down debt. So, for example, my niece and my nephew, my niece and her husband has some student loan debt, and so they were asking me, while there was a pause, there's been a pause in student loans, right, federal student loans. You didn't have to pay it. But I said, no, don't take that pause. Pay on it. And they've gotten rid of it. I think the last time I checked, by December, they were going to be done with all of this debt because every payment they made went to the principal. So they didn't have to pay interest. And so that means they dug out of that debt. I run this ministry, you know, I've talked about this. I run this ministry at my church, First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. And this year, people reported getting rid of debt from February to the end of the year, almost $500,000. Because they weren't out shopping, they didn't take the vacations, all because we had a pause, right? And so rather than, you know, just
not pay off the debt or, you know, maybe order out, they took that time where they weren't going out and weren't on vacation to pay down debt. And then the other side is many people started to save. People who didn't even have an emergency fund now have an emergency fund. So people took this horrible thing that happened to us and found something good out of it. They either got out of debt or saved or both. And if you're in debt, I usually tell people start with the debt with the smallest balance because you get more bang for your buck. And then if you've got like 10 debts and you get rid of two because you have two small debts, you just feel like, oh, my gosh, I can do this. And they end up getting rid of the debt a lot faster. So if you're going to do debt, start with the smallest. You list all your debts, start with the smallest, pay off that while you're making the minimum payments on the rest of the debt. And for savings, you know, try to save at least 3 to 6 months of living expenses. And that's everything it costs to run your house. So let's say your monthly expenses are $3,000. So you want to save three times that $3,000 at a minimum to start. Now, you may not get there all at once, but you can build towards it. So this is a time that you know, while we're all on this pause still, and we should be, you shouldn't be traveling, you shouldn't be going anywhere that is not a necessity, use that time to catch up on your finances.
So let's talk a little bit about the gifting process. If someone is going to go out and purchase some things, I want to talk a little bit about strategy. For example, what are the best stores that you might recommend to do last minute shopping? Because this is the last minute week. This is Christmas week.
Well, I always tell people to start with your budget first. Don't list everybody and then put dollar amounts to it because then you go overspend. So if you only have $200, you got to buy for everybody in their $200. And then you sort of think about, okay, where can I go to stretch that money? And, you know, these days you can buy a lot of stuff online. You can buy specialty gifts. Listen, we all need masks, right? You can buy some specialty masks. There are all kinds of ways to fit it in there. I hate to call out a particular store. First of all, you know I don't like shopping no ham. So I'm not going to tell you what store, but almost every store has different things at different prices, and that's sort of how you should approach it. And then just think about, you know, different unique things. Like, I know you probably guys have heard this before, but some of the things that you can get, you don't even have to buy in a store. You know, my daughter, who's a junior at Towson, for my birthday, it's not the holiday, but for my birthday, she did a coupon for me, a certificate for 3 cooked meals, and I got to invite a guest for that. So she would buy the meal and fix it, and it was like 3 little square boxes, and I got 1 meal left, y'all. And so she fixed me a meal, and then for my anniversary for my husband, because, you know, we didn't want to go out to a restaurant, so she cooked us our anniversary dinner and served it and set the table. It was so nice. So I got 1 more. And she actually put an expiration date on it.
She put an expiration date. Christmas Day 2020.
And so I got to get that mail in, I think she might have gave me to Easter, but I'm not sure. I got to go check the coupon.
That's funny, but it's also a really good idea.
For my anniversary, I didn't know what to do. We didn't know where to go. And she's such a great little chef. She's like, she's a really good cook. And I got to invite one guest, and I, you know, it wasn't that a great idea? That's not something that you can buy at a store. And one of my my oldest daughter, because, you know, the kids, they don't like to talk to me. So she gave me a coupon for one. Now, this is before the movie shut down, but one movie. And then I could get to ask her 3 questions.
What?
Without her rolling her eyes.
Wow.
This is actually on the coupon. Because, you know, as a parent, you ask a question, they just roll their eyes. Like, oh, my God, I got to talk to this parent. And so we get to have an evening out, and I could ask her any 3 questions without her rolling her eyes or, you know, smacking her teeth. Like, that's a great gift. Like, as a parent, I get to ask her 3 questions.
Yeah, but do you get answers? That's the question.
Well, it says she has to answer them. So I'm not going to ask her anything that I don't want to answer to, though.
Yeah, you better not. Yeah, boy, I tell you, things are really creative in the Singletary household. There's no question about
great?
That.
I mean, yes. It's like, you know, I love it.
So here's the other thing too, and you kind of touched on this, but should you? Are there some family members that you may have usually given gifts to that you may have to skip this year? How do you do that?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. So, and I'll tell you, I'm going to answer it a different way. So there are people in your lives that their love language is giving.
Yes.
Or they like to receive gifts. Mm-hmm. And so the coupon not going to work for them. They're like, that's not going to work for me. And that's okay. That's their love language. And you should speak to people in their love language. Like my love language, you don't have to buy me anything. Like seriously, my husband, you know, he hasn't gotten me anything for Christmas right now. He's like, I don't know. I was like, baby, I don't need nothing.
Yeah, he's
lucky. I have
the
best husband ever. And I just like, he's like, what do you want? I was like, I really don't want anything. We are all healthy. We still have our jobs. I have great kids. You know, they get on my nerves, but I, you know, and I'm just thinking, baby, you know what? There's nothing that I want. There's nothing that I need. And so don't stress about it. But there are some people who you do have to get that tangible thing, and that's okay. So you concentrate on those folks. So if it was me, if I'm on your list, you good, right? I'm good. So then take my share and give it to the person who needs something. So I think that's how you sort of approach it. And there, you know, like if there's a, you know, your mother-in-law, you know you got to give your mother-in-law something because she's going to be looking at you side-eyed. Okay. But if your sister's like, yeah, I don't really need anything. So then listen to that and put it towards your mother-in-law. Just be more discerning about the people in your life and their love language. You know, some people's love language is time. They want to spend time with you. My sister, who I adore, is like my best friend, Monique. Hey, Monique. So she loves spending time with us. She likes to do sister bonding stuff, like just come over and hang on me on the couch. So that's what I would do with her. I don't have to buy anything. I don't have to bring anything. She just wants to, like, sit and watch something on Netflix and us just bond. Well, my godmother, she likes to give stuff. So I'm going to give her something, right? And so that's sort of how you approach it. You know, acts of service. Like maybe there's somebody in your life, an elderly person, who needs to be taken to the doctor. They don't need another Afghan or cookie jar, you know, but they would love for you to go take them to the doctor or pick up their medicine or something like that. And that's sort of what you could do to save some money so you're not running yourself ragged trying to figure out what people get with money that you don't have.
So to that point, if you skip one relative, mm-hmm. but not another within that circle, mm-hmm. because you believe that it is okay,
yeah.
and then the other relative that you did not skip tells relative one, well, look what Michelle got me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you just crawl under a rock?
No, and you know, you do need to be strategic. So we have a large family, and it was getting kind of crazy because after the kids are little, all the gifts kind of more pricey. So we decided to do a Secret Santa Club among our family members, and there's an app that I use called Elfster, like Elf and then Elfster, like Elfster. And so I put in all the names. It randomly picks who's going to be your Secret Santa, and that's what we do now. So we don't buy everybody a gift anymore. So we do a Secret Santa. It's about 13 or 14 of us, and then you only have to buy that one gift. And we talked about it beforehand. We said, okay, look, because a lot of the kids were in college, and you know, it just got to be a little bit much, like trying to buy 14 gifts. And so we all agreed as a family. We did it at Thanksgiving, like several years ago. We all sat around the table. It was like, okay, this is getting to be much, so let's just do Secret Santa. And so every Thanksgiving, we put the names into the little app. Everybody gets their Secret Santa place, and even in the app, it says you set a dollar limit. So we set $50 or less, and then there's a wish list. So you put, you know, things that you want on the wish list. You can buy it from the wish list, but we did that one year. People deviated from the wish list, and oh my God, it was like chaos. You know? So like we put it in, so you pick something from the wish list, and it's just, it has worked out perfectly. And we actually do another get thing where when we open the gifts, you have to guess who got it for you. We just want to make it a little game, right? And it has saved all of us a lot of money, all of us a lot of stress.
And so that's sort of how you do it. So you have to manage everybody's expectations. And if you don't want to do that and you say, okay, I'm going to get somebody this, but I really can't afford to get somebody that, then you just let people know, like, look, I'm not buying for a whole bunch of people, but you know Cousin Betsy, if I don't get her something, she's going to have an attitude. So you just, you know your people. Just talk to them before the holidays.
And just a safety reminder for your large family, no large gatherings during COVID.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're not meeting. We're doing a Zoom call. Okay. So we have everybody ship the gift to whoever they're at. I'm so glad you pointed it out. Right. So we had everybody put their address in, and all the gifts are being sent. So whoever I'm getting, I have to send their gift to them, and then we're going to do a Zoom call, and everybody will open up their gifts. I'm so glad you mentioned that. No, there are 14 people not coming to my house.
Okay, just asking. Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jesse, calling from New Orleans. Jesse, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. And Michelle, how are y'all doing today?
Just great.
Yeah, we're doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was just calling, not necessarily to talk about anything that's on the topic tonight, but just to say, like, I'm really proud of you. I listened to On Point on NPR, and I know you're a regular guest there.
So you know you're going. Jesse, you're going to just drop another radio station on my show. Is that what you're doing? Oh, I'm not. Hold on. Let me just back up. Jesse just called my show and said, no, I'm not here to talk about the topic. I'm here to drop another radio station on what's going on, what's in the water in New Orleans right now, because I don't understand that.
That's funny.
And New Orleans is my favorite city, but I'm about to say not anymore. And when the mayor of New Orleans comes to me and says, Harold, why isn't New Orleans your favorite city? You know this brother by the name of Jesse, who was just so disrespectful. What the heck? Jesse, look, I'm going to give you an opportunity, since we are in the giving spirit. I'm going to ask you something on point on my show about the topic. Can you do that for me, Jesse?
Of course. I appreciate that plug as well. So I'll try to recant what I said.
Yeah, that just, wow, the shade. That's
all right, Jesse. Don't let him mess you with me.
Wow, that's just, I can't believe. That is the first time that has ever happened on this show, ever. Jesse, what are you doing right now to be more financially responsible during this holiday gift-giving season? Be careful how you answer, my friend.
Yes. So me and my wife, we're basically just limiting our budget this year. Basically, we have two girls. One is 4, and the other is around 17 months. So they don't really need that much in gift-giving. So we're basically kind of limiting what we're getting them for Christmas this year.
Mm-hmm. So, Jesse, you don't have to get that 15-month-old nothing. So do you have a toy bin at home?
Oh, do
no,
we?
No, seriously, you have a toy bin, right? I'm sure you do, right? Do you have a box or a bin or something that all the toys go into, right?
We have a huge bin here in the hallway.
Right, okay, good. So take the top layer off, because that's the toys that they play with, right? Because that's at the top. There are toys on the bottom that 14-year-old hasn't seen in months. Take those toys, wrap them up, put them on the tree. She'll never know the difference.
Oh, word to the wise.
See?
No, for real. Like, she's 14 months old, right? She don't even remember. You know? No, I mean, seriously, I used to do that till all my kids were about 4 or 5. And people would give them stuff. You probably got stuff in the closet, some stuffed animals that they haven't played, some books that's somewhere. Because all they want to do is see stuff under the tree. All they want to do is open the wrapping, right? That's the excitement. So take all that stuff that they don't play with that's up in the closet and wrap it up and put it under the tree. That's all they want to see is volume. And so, and especially the bottom layer toys, they don't ever see that stuff no more. So take all of that, wrap it up, and you don't have to get the 14 months, nothing.
Wow.
I'm taking that advice.
I'm telling you, it works until the oldest one tells the little one, "Mommy got that out the toilet." Then you have to stop. That's what happened to me. My oldest was like, she was like ratting me out, so I had to stop. But for a good 4 or 5 years, I had a run on that. It would save me a lot of money.
Man, I never thought of that. Well, Jesse, thank you for calling, I think. And
I'm glad I made WHUR history, Harold.
Yeah, you most certainly do. Next time, have your wife call. The wives always know better. Jesse, look, be safe down there in Louisiana, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you all as well.
Alrighty. All right. Bye-bye. I can't believe that. Michelle, that was amazing.
Yeah.
That your suggestion was amazing, and Jesse's call was amazing, too.
It was fun.
And one of the other things about being financially responsible, and this is slightly off topic, but you mentioned something, and I wanted to make sure that I went back to it, because even as we are in the midst of this vaccination process, the reality is, and this is particularly the case, I would say, for federal government workers who are working from home and have been working from home. One of the things that I discovered earlier this year is that you can call your insurance company, and you can, if you aren't doing the commute, if your car is not moving as much as it used to, and if that's been the case, and you don't, for the foreseeable future, expect, let's say, for the next 3 months or 6 months, that you are not going to be driving, call your insurance company and ask them to reduce your premium based on what your expected monthly mileage or yearly mileage, I should say, would be. I did it. It was incredible. My insurance was cut in half.
Yeah. Our insurance company actually did it automatically at the height of the pandemic. So that is, we're actually about to renew, so I need to call them again. But you're right. I mean, my husband isn't commuting. I'm not commuting. The kids are doing school from home. So absolutely, you should call and see whatever discount that you can get. And many companies are doing it if they didn't already do it automatically.
And I think what I saw in this particular example was that with my insurance company, I got a bit of a rebate because of that. But then what I did was I called and I said, this is the estimated mileage that I've had in years past, in 2019 BC before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is what I have this year, and it was significantly less. It literally saved me half of what I was paying BC before COVID. But what other things might you suggest, even outside of this holiday season, that will help us save a little money and perhaps reduce the amount of financial stress that a lot of people often feel this year?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. You start with some of your regular monthly expenses. I mean, you did it with the car insurance. We called our company that does our alarm system because we're all here. And so we, negotiated. We knocked the bill down by half. Same thing with your cable company. We called the cable company and we took some channels off, some things, some packages that we weren't really, watching. And that knocked about, $40 off our bill. So we were, my husband and I did this about a couple months ago. We just laid a list all our monthly bills and then sort of systematically started to call each one to sort of see what kind of break, we could get. Because our usage changed, or we changed the way we were doing something, and we were able to, reap quite a bit of savings every month by doing that.
About the alarm system, I must admit that I've tried that on several occasions, and was never able to get any kind of reduction. So I don't, I don't know. What did you do? Did you threaten him?
No, I mean, what did we take off? We took something off. It didn't go down as much as I wanted to, but I forget. We had, you know, different monitoring orders. I forget what we did exactly, but I'm trying to think, what did we take off? You know, now everything is sort of smart and you know, different.
Where you don't have a monthly fee where you can just buy a system and that's that. And,
yeah. So
and it maybe, and maybe if you
that.
Threaten to buy one of those, then maybe they'll act right.
I think I did threaten to go to another alarm system. So, and I came to them from another one, so they know I wasn't playing. So, yeah.
So, you know, I only have a few minutes left, but you know, just some final thoughts from you about the giving season, because this really is this is a critical holiday season. I would argue the most critical holiday season when you're talking about emotional anxiety, financial anxiety that we have seen since 9/11.
It is, and you know, and please understand, I'm not saying that we shouldn't give. I like getting gifts occasionally, and I do occasionally like giving gifts. So if you're in the position to do that, that's fine. But if you can't, if you have debt, if you don't have any savings, just remember this, and this is what I tell people all the time. It is not about the presence. It's about your presence. And even if you can't physically be with your family, you can call them. You can write them a letter. You can do some things that don't cost money. Just know that the things that people value the most is the thing that you can't buy, which is time. And just think about all the things in your life that you have treasured. And I bet it wasn't something that was bought in a store. It was someone who called you just at the moment when you were at your lowest. Or it was a church member who sent you, hey, I'm just checking on you kind of call or card. Just think about that. So remember I told you there's two cities right now, those the haves and have-nots. And you, if you are in the haves, talk, you know, you can now be generous, be more generous, do more, pay somebody's bill. You know, pay somebody's car note, something that's really going to take a burden off their shoulders. And if you have lost your job or your hours have been reduced, just know you are not less than if you can't give the way you used to give. You being healthy and present of mind is a gift to your children and your spouse or partner or family.
And, you know, it's interesting you should say that. For example, I've always been amazed, but you really can do this. All you need is an address to pay a utility bill.
That's right.
Because you can't get any information about that person, but if you wanted to put a little something on that utility bill, utility companies don't mind taking the money.
They do not. We paid the rent for somebody, and I just called the rental company up and figured out how to do it, you know?
There it is. That is such a great gift and perfect for this season. Michelle Singletary, Color of Money columnist at the Washington Post. Thank you so very much. Tell your husband
you.
I said, hey, how
I
you doing?
I sure will. And Merry Christmas to everyone and happy holidays, however you celebrate the holidays. I wish you well.
Thank you so much. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. For this Monday, December 21st. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.